Okay, welcome one and all to Dialed In. We're going to get going with the new episode here in just a second, but before we do, here is a word from the good people at Law Chevy.
Hey guys, it's Dylan here at Law Chevrolet Buick. Man, what an amazing year it was. 2018 was truly awesome. The support that we had from our drag racing community was tremendous. Whether it was coming and purchasing a vehicle from us or sending somebody in that you knew or even making sure that you got your service work done here. Guys, we truly appreciate that. With that being said, we're going to continue what we did in 2018. If you're part of our drag racing community and you come and purchase a vehicle from us, we're going to give you $600 on a Visa gift card. It could be used for whatever you want it to be used for. If you're like me, that's some buyback money. So like I said, we appreciate everything you guys have done for us in 2018. Let's make 2019 a great year again. So make sure to give me a call here at 812-897-2220 or just visit lawchevy.com. We'd be glad to take care of you guys. Thank you.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So episode 26 is live, and yes, we know we still have the law commercial from January. If you see Dylan Winters anywhere, tell him he is slacking. Send him a message on Facebook and just tell him, hey man, you know, we need a new one. We're back here, episode 26. Lights out, Sweet 16's on the live stream on my TV here, so you're going to hear that in the background. I'm a drag racer, we're all drag racers. If you're listening to this, you're probably watching it too or have watched it. We're back at it here, episode 26, Zach, and you about cracked him this weekend.
Well, very encouraging things happened, that's for sure. Yeah, I went down to Bowling Green Saturday for the 10G at BG. The car was great Saturday. Took two entries down to fourth round, dropped one that round, ended up taking the other one down to 13 cars in round six. I was the loss to the winner guy. Adam Davis took me out with alcohol out of my trailer in the car. So him and Danny Weaver were kicking butt all night. So I just messed up the stripe on that race. I actually should have won that. I can't say I should have won because, you know, if I would have, could have, should have. But if I would have done something a little bit different at the stripe, I would have won. But anyway, didn't do as good Sunday, but Saturday had a great time. Have to give a big shout out to Beach Bend Park. And the new surface is amazing. Guys did a great job all weekend. The track was phenomenal despite cool temperatures all weekend. You know, we had wind pushing us around every different direction, and the track surface stayed awesome. You know, I also want to, you know, Saturday, the car, as far as how it performed on the racetrack, Sebert Performance carburetor was on point. I knew what 60 foot it was going to have before it left there at the end. It ran a string of them together. That was unbelievable. Sunday, I think the wind affected us more than anything else. It was really moving around a lot. Car wasn't quite as consistent. Track surface was a little bit trickier on Sunday than it was on Saturday. Still, I'm extremely raceable. I mean, great, great surface to race on. I felt extremely safe all weekend. You know, car backed up run after run after run. Was hanging the front wheels out there. It just was a tick worse on Sunday than it was on Saturday, but ended up, you know, bowing out both entries third round. Interesting note of the weekend, me and Chad Axford had to race four times, and we're 2-2 on the weekend. He took me out the last one third round, though, so that one stung. So I want to say thank you very much, Chad. I appreciate that. How was your trip to Texas, Jake?
Hey, before I get into my trip, I'm just really proud that you're not mad at Bowling Green anymore.
I'm not. I know. That's why I wanted to say nice things, because, you know, that day we went last year and it was so nice outside and we didn't race. But
I'm glad you're back in love with it.
I am.
It's a nice facility.
It really is.
Been there one time my whole life and lost at 16 in Scotty Richardson's truck. And it wasn't the truck's fault.
Yeah, man.
Or the tracks.
It's and the new format I thought worked well, and it was successful, more successful than the 10 tucks we saw, you know, of recent years as far as car count, especially Saturday. I think there was 200. And so it went good, and the racing got over in a decent time. And I think that's a key there at Bowling Green definitely getting the race done at a reasonable hour. Once you go too late and the dew sets there, then there's just not a lot they can do. So, but anyway, great format. Looking forward to that going forward. forward. Be really cool, I think, if they threw a points deal in there as well for those races like they used to for the 10 tucks, especially with it bringing a premium on their races with cutting it down to, if you're going to have the $9,000-$10,000 races of the year, then that would be a pretty nice feather in somebody's cap to say they were the points champion of that series. So that would be really cool.
Yeah. So, I went to Texas. They almost had the lady at the rental car company upgrade me to a Hemi Challenger.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, we're running a special. It's $45 more a day. I kind of laughed. Said, I'm not interested. I'll do it for 20. And she said, hold on just a second. I thought, oh, great. You know, what am I getting into? She said, I can do $20 a day extra. And I said, what? Sign me up. You know, cool. And what she didn't mention was the tax for the Challenger was $102 on top of the $20 a day. And my shooter was like 13. So,
wow.
So I started the trip off right. The rental car company charged me twice. Let's see. Other than that, it wasn't terrible. I got lost trying to meet Shabs, Mike Shabarek, for dinner. I really was only going to meet his girlfriend because, you know, you got to meet the person that can actually control Mike Shabarek. It's quite incredible. So I got lost in Burleson, Texas, and Shabs talked me into going there. I didn't realize it was the complete opposite way of the racetrack from the airport by about 40 minutes one way and then an hour and 10 back the other. not a big deal. Not mad. Had a good time. And the only thing I can compare the tens to is it's kind of like going to the triple tens at Norwalk on Labor Day weekend. It's just, you know, you're up race until 2-3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, everybody's loving it for the most part. People that are in are loving it. You know, it's a good time. Everybody's still up by the starting line. Everybody's, you know, kicked back on the golf cart, having a drink or whatever, you know. Saturday, we ended up actually condensing it. A couple oil downs, you know, put 4 hours on top of the program of downtime. And, you know, we were starting second round at midnight. And it's an eight or nine round race. It doesn't work out too well. Didn't sleep much. Had a great time. My plane didn't break down there or on the way back. It was delayed on the way there, actually, by about an hour and 30 minutes for maintenance. I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or not. Other than that, you know, the lady I sat next to on the plane used half of my seat and all of hers. And, you know, it happens. But I can sleep anywhere, though. So I just put my head against the side of the plane and just went out. But, yeah, I had a good time. I'm trying to think of a way to put this. It's different in Texas, 100%. But they're trying. You know, the promoters are actually sticking their necks out there and putting on these money races. And it's just going to take some getting used to. And they're not going to run an event like we are on the East Coast because they don't have to. It's going to be warmer there for the most part. I'm not going to say they're not going to have as many cars, but statistically they don't. I think if the right event was there, it's very capable that an event there could see 450, 500 cars, not a problem. And you could park that at the Motorplex. That's not a problem. But I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot of why things are done the way they are there and here. And it was pretty cool to be a part of the team. You know, the Texas Motorplex is a great place. I went down to the Winner's Circle and saw Mark Walter's name in the Winner's Circle there for Motormania TV. It was pretty cool. He used to race there way back in the day when he was stationed near there. So it's my senseless fun fact for the weekend. Other than that, we're recording on a Thursday night. We both had hectic weeks, and we're here to give it to it.
Yep, that's right. Oh, yeah, I have to give a shout-out and tell the story about so that round on Saturday when I was still in twice on the first run, when I was rolling into the stage beam, the car decided to start to die on me. Took off that round, and it started sputtering, didn't quite run right. Came back at the end, ran 3/10 off. So I don't have enough time. I've got to drive all the way back up there and get back in line because it's already fourth round. There wasn't but, you know, 20 door cars left or whatever at that point. So I'm going to try to get back up there. And I stopped. It was running terrible the whole way down the return road. It was about to die. And I stopped at Richard Duval's trailer. You know, we ripped the hood off, checked the fuel pressure, you know, turned the fuel pump on. Obviously, it was a stuck needle and seat right away. He helped me fix it. So I'm going to shout out to Richard. We got it the next round when I came up there on my second entry. I had a 7-pack. Shout out to Richard for helping me fix that, man. I really appreciate it. He's the kind of guy that just helps people and does that kind of stuff all the time. So I really want to say thanks a lot to him for help keep me in the race.
Yep. And Big Daddy Duval, as I call him,
mm-hmm.
He's the first guy to tell you when you're wrong and the first guy to help you fix it.
Yeah,
that's what I love about him. He's a great dude. Going into the Texas Triple Tens results, I don't know if you want to do that first or where you were at. I can just throw them in there real quick because they're on the top of my head. Friday. A guy named Jake Howard, not sure if anybody's ever heard of him. You know, he's never, you know, won a big money race before. He won and rounded up No Box for $5,000 Friday. And Top Bob Friday was also Chad Sandlin, our guest today. Saturday, the no box portion finished round two. So couldn't really refund buybacks and split purse, whatever. They split, I think, I forget how many entries were left in no box, 40-something. So they split the whole purse into whoever won second round. And the Super Pro side of it didn't finish second round. They were in the middle of it whenever it got called because there was one crash and then one all but hitting a wall crash back-to-back. And we pulled the plug. Smart decision. I stand beside that 1,000%. There was a lot of upset people, a lot of people that agreed with it. Nobody's life is worth $10,000. There's nothing that you can say to disprove that fact.
Right.
On the other hand, woke up Sunday morning and did it all over again, and they doubled the Super Pro. It's $20,000 to win now. So the triple 10s turned into a 10 and a 20 for the Top Bob side. Not Corey Gulliddy, but Popeye, Chris Gulliddy, got it done for $20,000 on Sunday. He was doubled down to four. He had to run Dylan Bontrager and didn't put the crossover in. And Dylan didn't suck. He was two. You know, he was there to race, but you can't say Chris would have won or Dylan would have won it because nobody really knows. But Chris Gulliddy was laying down the law. I mean, it was incredible, the runs he was making. And so whenever about snapped his neck and the car took off, he stopped at 60 foot and backed up and said, you know, let's run the second entry now. Let's do it. Pulled himself together. He had to be better than two to get lane choice, and he was one. So to throw one run away, possibly running yourself in a $20,000 final, he pulled himself together, you know, 35 seconds later, staged up again and let go one. And he was one dead nine or something incredible. And come back to run Dylan Bontrager. I think he was 14 and dead on something, and Dylan just missed it a touch, which Dylan deserves a great shout out. We went to Hibachi afterwards that night, and I'm not sure how one of us didn't need bailed out of somewhere. But Sunday, the no box side, our guest today, Chad Sandlin, just run amok on him this weekend. Top, bottom, middle bulb, stage bulb, pre-stage bulb, red bulb, it doesn't matter. If there was a utility spot open on any dream team and you don't call Chad Sandlin, you are missing out. 1,000%. I have zero doubt in my mind. But that's enough about the Texas Triple Tens at the Motorplex. Zach, what do you have going on your neck of the woods, or our neck of the woods where I was not?
So the 10G at BG this weekend, three 10s on the top. So Friday results. This is a guy that you pretty much thought you could write the name on the check for one of the 10 graders of the weekend.
I haven't looked at the show notes. Is it Jeremy McKagey?
Yes, Jeremy McKagey.
Lord.
Yeah. Took the win Friday in the Nova. Jeremy McKagey out of Missouri took the win over Aaron Milton. Made the tow from Minnesota. Bright Red Firebird running 520s, took the runner up. And I think Friday was the coldest day out of the three, actually. So that shows you just a testament to the track. If a 520 door car was in the final, you know, in 45 degrees, then that tells you the track's working really good. Saturday was a crazy day. That's the race. That's when we got down there Saturday morning. Adam Davis out of Alabama in the Camaro on tiny 9-inch tires running 650s, took the win over Josh Lukey. So shout out to Josh Lukey.
Yeah, how about Lukey runner up in the new car?
Yep.
Brand new ride for him this year.
Representing Indiana, Law Chevrolet takes the runner up spot. So Lukey actually beat the Camaro with Danny Weaver driving it at 7 cars. Look on Danny Weaver's Facebook page if you haven't. He posted the time slip from that race. It was unbelievable. I think one of them was 2, one of them was 5, one of them broke out by like 7, and one of them broke out by 4. So it was just absolutely nasty. Adam's the one that took me out. Took me out at 13 cars. And so hats off to them. They came down wanting to borrow fuel. They said they only brought 15 gallons of alcohol. They were only running one day, and they expected one of them to suck. I told them take a jug and then we'd figure it out later. And congrats to them on a great day. And they took off, took the money, and just drove back to Alabama Saturday night. So Sunday, saw Doug Foley Jr. Out of North Carolina taking a win in his dragster. And over Blake Richardson, AS10 out of Tennessee. So yeah, Doug Foley getting the one win for a dragster on the weekend down there. Other than that, door cars took the other two. Blake Richardson, you know, getting the Richardson name in the final round there on Sunday. So it was a great weekend, man. The weather was awesome. You know, great sunshine, even though it was kind of windy and cool, but it was a great event, and look forward to seeing that grow and get bigger and bigger in the future.
I said short bus, and Doug Foley Jr. is not short bus. That's Brennan George. However, they could be brothers. Two-seater Doug, man, he's been knocking on the door for all these big money races, and, you know, he's been down to where it counts and lost good, really, really good races. So it's pretty cool to see him and Big Block Blake there in the final round at Bowling Green.
Yep. Yep. That's right. You know, and we talk about different states and the best bracket racers and where they come from. And, you know, there was quite a few there at Bowling Green this weekend. I thought it was interesting, you know, just going through those results. There was no Kentucky cars that made it to the final round and also no Ohio cars in finals.
Not taking any digs, but, you know.
Just saying.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, when Big Jed says, you know, Alabama's got the best bracket racers, you know, we won the Dream Team Challenge or All-State Challenge, whatever it was. Indiana was runner-up by, like, a point. So don't forget that.
That's right. That's right. So, so Jake, how about telling us about the Loose Rocker event they had there out there in Virginia?
The event is not the word for it. Loose Rocker blew the place out of the water. I've never seen so many race cars roll in the gate for 10Ks. You know, and that's like the old Norwalk days where you'd have 550 entries. They actually had 600 tech cards for round number one Saturday. And that is unbelievable. Friday was a wash. Wow. And I'm trying to think of how to put this into words. VMP is not a great place to have 600 cars to race. It's not. Their curfews are very tight and very strict. On Sunday morning, the curfew is you can't fire the engine in your race car to back it out of the trailer until 10 o'clock a.m. Doesn't matter. No ifs, ands, or buts. You cannot drive around the pit area. You cannot fire it to warm it up until after 10 o'clock in the morning. And I believe the evening curfew is 11 or so on Sunday. And they were done an hour early. They ran a ton of entries at a rapid pace. And that's not only a testament to the Loose Rocker and you know, the brand that they've built, but that takes a lot of cooperation from a lot of racers. So I know that, you know, Michael Beard, if we could have him on here again, he would say along the same thing. You know, he'll tell you he's got the best racers, because when they call them to the lanes, they don't fart around. They just get there and they do it. And I think that's a lot of a respect thing. But back to the results side of it. They had the legendary 64-car shootout, and the guy that turns every win light on but the last one lately, Jeff Serra, runner-up again. Yeah. He runner-up the door car to Kevin Brandon at Darlington. Somewhere else. Where else did he go? This is like his third runner-up in four races, and it's incredible. I don't know anybody that drives like Serra right now. You know, he's hot. But Bruce Sisk took the win in the $5,000 64-car shootout on Thursday. Friday was a rainout. After all the breakage and whatnot and the withdrawals, broke singles, whatever, 593 entries went down the racetrack in round number one of their ATI Saturday 10K warm-up.
Incredible.
That is crazy. And they had breakage. They had downtime. You know, it didn't go as smooth as they would like, but they got down to 20 cars in top ET. They got 1,025 each and 17 in foot brake, and they got $1,145 each. On Sunday, Mike Nelson Jr. was going door car in a 70s Camaro, if I remember right. And it has like the full rake in it, going five teens, low five, oh, like high tens, 12s, moving down the racetrack. Okay. And it's cold in VMP. Tyler Crossnose got the place hooked up. He went 5-12 in the final round at, you know, 11 o'clock at night almost over Ray Holmes there in the final. So Nelson goes dead on 8 in the final round, and he got the Loose Rocker Eagle Trophy. And Ray Holmes is no slouch. He won the American Door Slammer Nationals in 2013. Ray and Dink have been hitting the big money bracket scene out east for a couple of years now. And I know Dink won a $15,000 or $20,000 warm-up last year at Carolina. So big shout out to them and congratulations to everybody, and huge shout out to Loose Rocker. You know what? That's incredible. And try to wrap your head around, okay, I've got to get this done in this many hours, and I should have started an hour ago. You know,
right.
It's pretty rough. And if anybody's going to do it, that's the people to do it.
Well, just showing the power of that brand that they've created too with Loose Rocker. The racers are obviously all about it. You know, 600 entries. That's crazy. Hats off to them.
And one more thing, Tyler Crossnow will go down as probably one of the greatest track managers to ever live as far as caring about racers and the racetrack. Jimmy Bradshaw is great, and I'm not discounting Jimmy Bradshaw at all, because I've seen Jimmy do the same thing. When it was raining Friday night, in the rain, Tyler was on the tractor moving water off the racetrack in the rain all night long, because they had to be on the racetrack at 10 o'clock the next morning. And, you know, a lot of tracks and promoters would say, yeah, I got better things to do tonight. Let it rain. I'll get it in the morning. And they go to get it in the morning, and the track needs more attention than they can get it, and they got to cancel it. you know, that speaks volumes to any promoter and anybody that wants to go race at that racetrack, because that's dedication, and that is what it takes to secure your facility and your events as top of the field, top of the class, because I wouldn't have any doubts. You know, that's the same track that they had 10-day old concrete on in 39 degree weather and sending cars on the racetrack going 440. So big shout out to Tyler Crosnow and his crew at VMP. If you haven't been to VMP, you need to get to VMP, because it's an awesome facility that's really stuck in the little town of Dinwiddie in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's like an hour from Richmond. But yeah, if you can get over to VMP, and if you can get over to a Loose Rocker race, have at it, because you're not going to be disappointed. It's kind of like what we talked about with Peter Biondo. You know what you get when you're rolling in the gate. You know what you get whenever you get there. And I think that every decision that they've ever made is consistent with what they're going to make in the future. So
yeah.
With that being said, I'll get off my soapbox, Zach, and we'll get to our guest today.
Yeah, let's talk with and with that, here's our interview with Chad Zanlin.
So on the phone with us today is a guy that I watched put on an absolute clinic last week at the Texas Motorplex, and his nice little S10 he's got going for him now. He laid down a perfect run at six cars. He won the bottom bulb event on Sunday, right? Sunday? And the $10,000 top bulb event on Friday. So, Chad Zanlin, can I borrow some money?
It's already spent, man.
Yeah. That's the answer most drag racers will give you after they win a big one, Hutt. So, yeah, congratulations. It sounds like a crazy good weekend and a utility driver extraordinaire. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Chad, how you got into drag racing and your backstory.
Well, my parents were doing it in the late 60s, early 70s. And when me and my brother were born, we kind of just were born into it. And it started in the junior days when I was 8. And just worked my way up from there. And always been more of a foot brake guy than anything else. But the last couple of years, I've been hitting the top bowl quite a bit and enjoy it just as much.
Yeah, and that was Friday night. It was quite enjoyable. You know, the bottom bulb side, of course, got wrecked by Jake Howard. But, you know, it's I don't know if I've seen that truck or any race car in general go dead on zero more times than I did the truck the last weekend. And I know you're going to sit here and say the truck saved you here and there, but you let go like a champ, and that's got to be something you can take away from your top bulb adventures. You know, that's your bottom bulb side is as well as perfected, I think, as you want it, but your top bulb side isn't a slouch either.
Yeah, I mean, I probably put it dead on zero more times last weekend than I have in my entire life. A lot of it was a truck. A little bit was finish line driving. Wasn't real great, but just killing what you're holding and putting it on the number was the name of the game last weekend, and it worked out for me.
And I don't think that you've – I don't know – whenever you let go at six cars, did you feel perfect? What did you think you were about 330 foot out?
I mean, I didn't know that I was perfect, but I knew I was pretty good. It's kind of hard to get racing a 440 dragster going six cars, you know. So.
Yeah, and like 46 degree track temperature. Yeah, that's not a real good guessing game to play. But
I mean, I knew at that point I was dialed to the wood. It didn't matter what he was doing next to me. So I didn't think it would go that fast. But
Eric came up there the next day, and I said, Eric, your brother laid it down last night. And he said, yeah, man, I was pumped. I asked him, you know, how's it feel to have his first perfect run? And he said, that's like my third or fourth.
Yeah, I started counting. I had to go back and find the time slips this week. That's my third one. That I
Man, I just want to let go perfect. Well, yeah. I don't care what the car runs.
It's such a great run, but it's so close to being on the wrong side too, you know.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of really, really good racers in Texas that don't travel and don't get notoriety. But I think the guys that show that they put in work in the last year or so that's kind of showing out when they go to home track races. And like, whenever you go to cow pastures and stuff, you know, you're used to the big races like that. And you're used to the pressure and you're used to all that. And guys at home, I'm not saying they cave in that situation. But I feel like the more times you're in that situation, the better your odds are.
Yeah, me too.
So, like, take us through the weekend a little bit, Chad. I mean, as far as Friday, whenever you got it going, was there a particular round that you thought about, you know, that stands out for your win on Friday that was, you know, one that you maybe thought was going to come down to really close and you got on the right side of, or any luck that you feel that you had, or how did it all shake out?
Yeah, I think it was the round before six that I think was at 11. I ran Pennington in the roaster, and I mean, I absolutely hogged up the stripe. We both break out, and somehow I break out a little less than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, Wendlandt probably shouldn't have came on there as far as bracket racing rules go, but it did, and I'm glad it did. And talking to him the next morning, I just asked him, so which one of us is dumber, you know, you falling breaking out or me taking so much? And, you know, it's just, when it's your day, it's your day.
Yeah, I think it was your weekend. So the adventures of Chad Sandlin, I heard about something about winning a three grander and not feeling the greatest. What was that about?
Oh, the puke bucket weekend, yeah.
I'm looking at a winner's circle picture with a drain pan in it right now.
I've had a couple of those, man. I feel like sometimes I'm allergic to the racetrack. I can make it one or two days just fine, but by the third day, I'm feeling terrible. And Sunday was kind of one of those days. I woke up, and I felt like I started getting the flu and took some medicine, and I was all right. And either the medicine lasted all day or the adrenaline did, but right after we ran the final and took the picture, I started feeling like crud again, and it's kind of carried over all into the week. But yeah, I've had a few weekends like that where I just don't feel very good, and I don't know if it's luck or drive or what it is, but it ends up making me drive better, making me have better luck, one or two.
I think it might be experience.
So, you know, a lot of drivers that I hear that have had multiple success in a certain race weekend, whether it be in the same day or multiple days, you know, they'll tell you that the earlier win or getting on top, you know, getting after it early, getting the win on Friday, made that the rest of the weekend go smoother for you. Do you feel like, even though it was from top bulb to bottom bulb, that your win on Friday helped translate into your win on Sunday?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, especially the first of the year, you go into it with not so much confidence, you know, and when you can knock a big one off the first day like that, for one, the money's in your pocket, two, the confidence is in your pocket, and you just kind of roll with it. And, you know, things that you normally would think about before that, you know, you're not thinking about that anymore. The weekend's already in your pocket, so just have fun with it, and the rest of it just plays out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while we're on the whole pockets conversation, it's no secret, you know, you don't race on a $1 million budget. You don't, you know, have a toter home stacker, but you've got your race truck, you've got your trailer, and you've got your good buddies you go racing with. At the end of the day, whenever you do win, you know, 10 threes, fives, the cow pasture 1,100 times, you know, what does that do for you? Because it's got to be a pretty gratifying feeling.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. We've always been low-budget family when it comes to racing. That's why we try to do it in the stuff that we do it in. My brother's got a Chevy Love with a 9-inch tire that's more deadly than my car is. But we both believe that both of our rides could get it done against a $100,000 race car any day of the week. And that's what makes it more satisfying than anything for us.
And do you pimp the S10 out as much as he pimps the Love out?
No.
I think everybody but me has driven that Love truck, and that's probably a good thing. I'm not saying, you know, I'm upset I haven't driven it because it probably wouldn't be together right now. But, you know, I feel like anybody he puts in that thing is just magical, you know. And you put Jake Howard in a scooter, you know, that's rhetorical. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in it that hop in it. Steve was crushing it this weekend, and Steve was letting go like a champ, and the truck was carrying him.
Yeah, but, I mean, it makes a decent driver look like absolutely great.
So it'd make me look decent.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Man, I got to talk to Eric about that one. So exactly how many times have you won the cow pastures?
Five, I believe.
Yeah, that's
anybody. I think one other person in the 42 or 3 years they've had it's done that. That's from what the track owner told me. And that may have been, he may have told me that at four. I can't really remember.
Yeah, and I don't think that I've ever heard of somebody winning one race so many times. And, you know, and you can make the argument that there's less racers out west or less popularity, but there was like almost 300 entries on the grounds at the Motorplex. So I think you can throw that argument out the window. You know, everybody that thinks you can go out west and win and it's a big, easy deal, you know, it's not. And I think you guys do a very good job of carrying that reputation.
Yeah, I just want to say something right now for everybody that's going to listen to this. Like, I believe that with the right pocketbook and in the right places with the right people that I could get it done just about anywhere. So if anybody wants to put the money up to travel me across the country, I will take it anytime.
Yeah, and I think I talked to Eric quite a bit. I know you guys were wanting to come out and hit some big money races on the East Coast, but you know, like you said, it's not. Eric said he's not going to race on a house payment is what he told me the other day. He said, I don't do that. And if you don't have the money, you don't go. And that being said, you drove on down to Gulfport. You got a little pocket change. It, you know, you said it's already spent. And that's just how you're rolling. That's probably one of the most respectable things that I can say about you and your brother. You know, it's pretty incredible what you're capable of doing on the budget you got.
So, Chad, tell us, I saw in one of your Winter Circle pictures, the shirt that you're wearing, who exactly is the Fat Boy Mafia?
That's Troy Morgan of the Environmental Oil and Recovery. If you can't find him, you can definitely find his cronies because they're the biggest, roughest looking dudes around.
And some of the best dudes. Some of the best dudes, yeah. And Troy would give his shirt off the back to anybody.
Yes, he would.
So on my end of it, have you ever drank that crap that Jake Howard drinks?
Oh, pea water.
Oh my.
No.
I'd never seen that in my life. I walked up, I said, "What is that?" And he said, "What was it? And try it."
Yeah, it's Shiner. It's a Texas beer. I think it tastes like a rusty nail. Not that I've ever ate a rusty nail before. That's what brings to mind every time that I've tried it.
Yeah, gold in a can quickly turned into a indigestion in the stomach.
Yes, definitely.
But I like I told him, I said, "Man, if I could have the success you've got, I'll drink this stuff breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day."
I feel you. I feel the same way about that.
Yeah, he was making fun of me for drinking Busch Light.
I mean, I'd rather drink water than pee any day of the week.
So, in your opinion, what state do the best bracket racers come from?
Texas. And look at all the big dogs that are older now.
Right.
Where they came from.
Man, I feel like this. Everybody on our podcast says that.
You can make a great case for it. And you look through the Richardsons and Bagaki and tons of others. But yeah.
Everybody's got their own opinion. And that's always been mine.
So on another level, kind of going back to, you know, if somebody wants to open up their pocketbook, give me one race on the bucket list. And if you win that race, where would the money go other than back in your racing program? What would you do with it?
I have to say the Spring Fling Million. Shoot, I don't know where the money would go. Probably in my bank account. I may get me a new tow rig, complete with truck and trailer, I would have to say.
Well, that actually, I think Eric wanted to know that answer to that question. He asked me to ask that for you.
He probably wanted in his pocket, I'm sure.
Make the Love Machine a big tire car.
So who would you say is the best foot brake racer out there today?
Jake Howard, hands down.
The results Friday, I don't think showed exactly. I'm not going to say that Jake was having a rough day, but he was having a rough day.
Yeah.
And he won and runner up.
Hey, he's got some tools in his pocket that he uses. And I think right now he's at the age where he's in his prime and he just kills a tree. You know, most days when he kills the tree, the best is when he doesn't do the best. Like probably Friday was probably struggling on the tree a little bit.
Yeah,
but the rest
he was
working for him.
He was floating between like he was double low every now and then, but he was 25 to 40 and just crushing it until the transmission line came off Saturday and we all had a nice little time to nap. We had a oil down. It was like Zach, I think we were down for an hour and 52 minutes the first time when Jake blew a transmission line at the cooler.
You clean up oil on the racetrack with Rysol ash and oil absorb.
All right, hold on a minute. We didn't.
Well, no. It was actually a sight to see. And I was actually really amazed after it happened the second time that anybody could go down it after that. But they did.
So right.
And I guess worked out for him. He could have fooled me with that deal. I'd have thought somebody was going to put it in the wall right at the Christmas tree after they cleaned it up the second time.
Hey, old Will Billy was letting him have it, wasn't he? But yeah, Zach, we were down for an hour and 52 minutes the first time. And it was about 2 hours later, the exact same thing happened in the same lane. It was an hour and 48 minutes the second time. And the second time, I mean, the car broke the tires loose like before the tree. It's like a 690 foot brake car. Broke the tires loose, pedaled it, broke it loose again, stayed in it, and ran all the way down the racetrack to the turnoff.
So bumped all.
We were down for a good while.
Bumped 9 quarts of transmission fluid onto the track. Yeah. That
sometimes it gets interesting in Texas. I mean, when your announcer from Indiana has to announce like the first 15 pair on Friday, not to back up down the racetrack return road. You know, yeah. It's interesting sometimes.
Yeah, do not put it in reverse, Terry, in the shutdown.
Yeah.
You know, there are 3 turnoffs. If you miss the first one, you go on down to the second one. Oh, man. And, you know, we even called the guy to the tower that was doing it. He's, I wasn't doing that. Uh-uh. I raced here my whole life. It's like, we got a car number and a car. It's all right. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, and you say that announcer from Indiana, whatever, Paige Hamlin kind of kept me in check in the tower. She kept saying, that's not how we do that here. Okay. I went in Rome, do Roman things. So, you know, I kind of just took a seat back and experienced it. And I'm not saying it was a bad time. It's just different. You know, you learn different ways, different strokes, different folks. And I had a great time.
You did good too, man. I enjoyed it.
You ain't gonna lie to me.
Anytime you want to come back to Texas to announce it, I'll put in a good word for you.
I'll be in Houston here in a few weeks.
Oh, I won't be. Have all that.
So if it's Jake Howard at number one, can we come up with a top 5 list for foot brake currently? Would Kevin Pollard be in the top 5?
Oh, definitely.
Lucas Walker,
Charlie Lockhart.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Sandlin. That's it.
That
Not
sounds
in
pretty...
any particular order on the other 4.
It's a pretty stout top 5. Oh. Arguments for others, you know, for sure.
What were you in the final Sunday? 7 dead, 9 off the foot?
5 dead, 2.
Yeah, and Lucas is a Thalred Dead 3.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. Doesn't get much closer than that.
But give me the story on the Skeet 10.
Well, I went through some rough times. While I was going through those times, I decided to repaint my truck. Well, letting some rather shady people do it turned out looking like a Skeeter bass boat. So we call it the Skeet 10.
I didn't get the
that's
story.
That's probably why my brother asked you where the money would go if I want to race, because he probably want me to repaint my truck. Pretty sure.
And in your intro, I forgot to state that you live in probably the worst town to try to get off at and eat a Chili's.
Oh, yeah?
I made 3 circles around the interstate in Burleson, Texas to try to find the road to get to Chili's. Google Maps wasn't updated. Shabs is yelling at me on the phone. I figured it out once I had to go down and come back and then go over it and then come back again.
So, Chad, give a shout out to, this is your time. Anybody that, helps you make it happen for your race team.
Well, first of all, everybody at Mickey Thompson, they treat us right, and they have for a few years now, and I've never had a problem with it. And anytime I got a question about something, I call them and make it right. They do here and there. And also Wes May and Justin. We scored a deal with them a couple years ago.
Hey, hold on just a second. Zach, did you hear that? That's coming out of Indiana going to Texas.
Right.
Phew.
Yeah, we called him and, he asked what we did, what kind of racing we did. And he wanted to try some new things here and there. And he sent us a carburetor, man, sent us a couple carbs. We bolted it on. And I think she never really touched it after that. Anytime we go somewhere and the weather's a little funky or it's acting a little funky, just give him a call. And he'll, he always directs us in the right direction.
Yeah.
Brother's who that holds it all together. He's kind of like a grandma. He takes anytime I got a problem, he's right there to help me. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't, I would have been this last weekend with mine. So,
do you think it's a coincidence that the weekend I came to Texas, you lost an axle on your trailer?
Say that one more time.
I said, do you think it's a coincidence that the weekend I came to Texas for the first time, you lost an axle on your trailer?
I don't know. Am I supposed to know something about this?
Phew. I don't know. Your brother can fill you in. He always gives me a hard time about blowing trailer tires and smoking bearings off my trailer and stuff.
Yeah. You probably jinxed her.
Jake has that effect somehow. I don't understand. It's something to do with the universe where it's contagious, his trailer tires. So coming off this weekend, now where are you headed to now? What's the next on the schedule? And what are you looking forward to here? Which races are you looking the most forward to?
We got Gulfport this weekend, and then I think the following week, I think spring breakout or something in Noble. I had thoughts to go to Vegas for the Fling, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
So if, so to speak, the right person's listening to this, and they say, hey, I've got 2 entries here at Vegas, you going to find time to get off work?
Yeah, or get a new job.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I kind of learned being in Texas that, like, oh, yeah, that's in Texas. Well, that's an 11-hour drive. There's nothing close to anywhere in Texas. Kind of, I know the bracket scene's actually, it's getting a little better than it was, but kind of give people an idea how far you have to drive just on some weekends just to go racing.
Minimum hour and 45 to 2 hours most of the time. You got Ardmore's probably the closest at like an hour, a little longer than that. Abilene and Noble, right about in Abilene. Of course, Motorplex, the only races they have this year, Cody's putting on. So that's about an hour from my house.
Well, that's kind of a discussion that leads us into. We've asked a lot of our guests, Chad, is just, kind of that we've been gathering opinions of a lot of different viewpoints and people that have been on here. On what's your opinion on the state of bracket racing currently? Is it, is it bad for the local tracks for all these big money races? And just what's your opinion on it?
Man, I don't know. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, I'm sure, at some point here. But,
oh, no.
I would rather go drive a little further to race for big money, to race for local. Mm-hmm. But I think, around my area, the guys that I grew up watching race local, they never traveled. They still never travel. They've off the index side of it. And I think the index thing's hurting bracket racing around here more than anything else. Just because of the fact that you got the few guys that are older that don't want to spend them to go race for big money. For one, they don't want to spend the money. Two, they don't think they have a chance to win. I think that's a big part of it around there. Do I think it's dying? No, I really. If you look at the amount of entries at these like big SFG races and stuff like that, you know, I think they're still drawing enough people. Racket race is not dying. Maybe in the South a little bit, but that's just my opinion on it.
Right, and you know, I agree with you because I was going to the hotel Friday night and I saw probably 7 or 8 rigs roll out the gate. So that's odd, you know, whatever. Maybe they don't want to race this late. You know, I get it. And Erica's like, no, or not Erica. Excuse me. Paige was like, no, they're going to, I forget what track was nearby.
Extreme.
Running Index. Yeah. Extreme. Yeah. Index race Extreme the next day. And I thought, really? It's 7-0 Index or something. And
none of them came back. So.
No, they didn't. And you know, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, like I said, I think those people think it's easier to win there at the index deal, which I'm sure it is. I'm not an index racer. I was years ago on the national side of things, and I just don't have a care for it anymore. Yeah, that's the way it's going down this.
I know every bracket racer has a round that's got away from them. What's your round? What's one that you still remember vividly in your head? You know, you shoulda, woulda, coulda. One that got away from you.
I mean, as of recently, probably second round of no box on Friday when I give it back 2,800.
I promise I didn't cut you up for that one.
I mean, that's the most recent one I can remember. I can't. Yeah, I got back to the.
I think we've all done that.
Well, Chad, we really appreciated talking to you here, and it's been a great interview. We do a thing on here we call the final round where we just talk about some random issue, something maybe, I don't know, just kind of an opinion question to close out. And we've been having guests join us for it. So are you up for it?
Yeah.
All right. So this week, the InMotion Solutions final round question, should someone be able to enter and buy back at the same time and get in the second round when they roll in the gate?
Sure.
What if they're already entered in the race and they buy a second entry after they've lost first round?
I mean, I'm a go for that too.
What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only time that you run into a problem there is if you've already got a million entries on the grounds and it's already taken 4 hours for first round.
Right.
But on the flip side of things, if you want that promoter to promote another race, give him money. You know, right. I've been on that side of it, and I've been on both sides where they're not making any and where they are making money, and there are a lot more excited about future races when they're making money. So I think at a local bracket level, maybe a little off kilter a little bit for that. But you know, you're racing for some money. I think it's absolutely okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been the one that rolled in after work and had to buy back and buy an entry. I mean, they're at a disadvantage. I don't think they're getting any advantage of it. They're also putting money into whoever's putting it on pocket, what it's all about.
Right. Well, here's my stance on it. I agree with this situation that you just said. Somebody got off work, whatever happened, who knows, whatever the reason is. They had a flat tire on the way there, and they didn't make it in time, and they missed first round, and they weren't there at all. Then absolutely, I agree, should be able to enter and buy back and take a shot, you know, and get one run at it. So I think where the gray area comes in for me is that a big money race where there is no buyback, so there's a first round buyback only, then how many is too many? You know, in a race where you have 400 cars and maybe you have, and you say that there's unlimited entries, how many guys out there with the deep pockets would actually buy 5, 6, 7 entries till they made it through first round however many times? May create a little bit of an unfair advantage, in my opinion.
I'm at a two max.
Right. Two max.
Yeah, two max. I don't think they should have more than 2 max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the race I was at last weekend at Bowling Green, it was it just says multiple entries welcome. So as far as the rule goes, there is no limit.
Well, here's the deal that gets me is when you go to these big races that don't have time, and you got with money in their pockets, and they want to put somebody different in their car than that just so they can get a time or a new entry. That's the deal that kills me. And then you sit there watching an hour and a half worth of entry time runs, and there's only 6 of them.
my favorite's when they pull the old switcheroo, like, oh, no, he's driving my car today, and the kid will go down or whatever. And,
he didn't see like him in it. The car the rest of the
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to police that other than, you know, I guess hire a babysitter, but it's rough. And
there's some things.
And I can play devil's advocate a little bit here. I could see on a racer side of things that's already in twice or can only afford to be in once and say, well, if he was in first round with me, I could have raced somebody else and I could have had a better chance, yada, yada, yada. I don't particularly agree with that statement, but, you know, at the same time, I see that side of it and I've heard that same exact complaint.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you just tell them that, you know, hit the tree better or go dead on, you've probably been all right. It's right. Kind of the game here.
Yeah.
But, well, Chad, man, it's been great. We're not going to keep you much longer. You know, you've been driving for quite a while, and you got to get rested up to kick everybody's tail down in Gulfport. You know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, I'm proud of you, and I'm glad to see you getting the recognition you deserve and having the success that, you know, we know you're capable of and what you have been doing for a long time, just on a little bit bigger stage. So keep it up. Stay away from me, and keep Eric in line for us.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
All right. Good luck this weekend, buddy. So, Zach, it was great having Chad Salen on. It was great, you know, talking about our weekends and, you know, our big days at BG are coming. They've got to. And I know you had a good weekend with Kristen and all that. And, yeah, it's been a great episode 26. And thanks, Chad Salen, for taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, we know you're a big shot now. And he's not the most talkative person. And I knew that going into it. But I knew what you got from Chad Salen was exactly how Chad Salen feels, because that's the kind of guy he is. And I think that's what makes for a good interview. And you and I talked, that challenged us both. You know, whenever you have somebody that doesn't talk as much as, you know, Peter Biondo likes to, or Rodney Fincham for that matter, you gotta try to get what you can. And I like it. I'm impressed with it. And yep. I don't think it's the last time we'll be talking to him.
No. Guy of great talent for sure. And to the point, straightforward. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I'd love the interview. It was a great time. Thank you all for joining us this week. Coming up this weekend, what do we got? Huntsville. I know it's having a race this weekend. What else is going on, Jake?
This weekend, not a whole lot. The Footbreak 150s down in Gulfport. It's going on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
There's a race out east somewhere. I think there's one at Galat, maybe not, somewhere down in that area. It's not really took off in full swing yet, but it's getting there, and we'll be there before too long.
Yep, for sure. So get a hold of me if you all want decals. Jeff Sarah in Motion Solutions just sent me the fresh shipment is here. It is in my possession. I'm ready to ship them out to you. So hit me up with your orders, and I'll be happy to help you with it. Thank you all for listening. We certainly appreciate it, and I hope everybody has great luck this weekend. Stay safe and turns on lots of wind lights.
Yep, absolutely. We'll see you guys in the staging lanes.